W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bark Technologies. With parental control monitoring apps and the new Bark phone, Bark is the best comprehensive parental control tool for families. Listen to today's episode for more details. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio is my lovely wife and co-host, Melissa Nickerson. With us, as always, is our, within the last 3 months, is our producer, Andy. Andy, welcome.
Hi.
Melissa, welcome to my studio, to my lair. That my studio that you
Yours?
Make sure gets paid for and you designed moved everything into and have the keys to.
I've got it insured.
But I'm pretty sure my name is on the lease for some reason because.
That made me so mad.
Anyway, welcome.
This
cheers. Cheers you. You've always finished your drink by the time that we do it to us. Everybody, these two idiots are back in the front seat here.
Welcome
to the back seat. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already before, left us a review on iTunes,
Stitcher,
Spotify.
In a long time.
On Apple, we've been getting a lot of new ones on Spotify because people are moving over to Spotify. YouTube comments, stuff like that. But
yeah,
Mel really just came down on you guys there because I see my downloads. And I see the thousands of you that listen to this, and then I see the hundreds of reviews that have been left. So I know some of you, you're just not, like, willing to take this relationship to the next level. But I want you to know, no one will see that. I mean, they will, but they won't have to, you're not going public with us, necessarily. You're not being like, hey, we're making it official.
Just do full stars if it's 4 or 5, and then say, Mel said it doesn't have to be funny.
Right.
You're done.
That's it.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's an easy review. We won't. There's not a lot of high pressure on that. Speaking of reviews, this is a YouTube comment we got on one of our clips recently.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm just blowing smoke up someone's arse here, but you're editing for shorts. Top tier.
Woo!
Should be the standard. I came directly from the hula hoop short to this video, and I didn't even realize when I watched that clip that it was clipped together. I applaud not only the precision, but also the forethought. It must have taken a set of recording so that you could mix it together like that down the line. So many absolute dog blank clips make numbers, particularly on TikTok these days. Well done for bucking the trend and putting in the work.
Wow.
There you go.
You know, I did not expect my own review. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Username, Dogstar87.
It was like Navarro or something like that. It was Dave Navarro, actually.
It was Dave Navarro.
Yeah, he's a big fan. Big fan of the pod. No one really saw him going this route of becoming the clean family podcast. I know you're a big Dave Navarro fan. He was in every band. He was bouncing around there for a while. Did you see the I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. The Foo Fighters announced their new drummer.
Oh yeah, Josh Freese.
Josh Freese, who's been in everything. He's been in Offspring. He was with Devo there for a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
Vandals.
Yeah. Was that his? Where was his original?
He was. I can't remember the band he was in before the Vandals, but he was in like some other kind of 80s-ish punk band that's been mentioned, but. Yeah, fun story.
This is for context here for anyone who doesn't know. The Foo Fighters drummer, Taylor Hawkins, passed away six months ago,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. very sad, very tragic. And they announced their replacement just a couple days
ago. And it's a great fit. Josh is a legend in the music scene. He's been a session drummer for freaking everybody. He's played on everything. His dad is actually was the high school band teacher at El Dorado High School in Yorba Linda, Placentia.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, well,
how about that? So he's an Orange County kid too? Or?
Yeah, he's out of Orange County.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
That makes sense because Grohl has talked about so much how much the Orange County punk rock scene influenced him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of scene that came a little after grunge or kind of simultaneously.
Kind of simultaneously. Yeah. It was a parallel and it was just
It wasn't as big early as grunge was. So, and Dave Grohl knows how to pick drummers. So everyone's, that makes sense that he went for an institution drummer. Like everyone, because I was reading comments and people were like, it's so sad and no one's ever going to really place him, but this is a good fit. So,
yeah,
there you go. Anyway, speaking of live music, the three of us all went to the same concert this last weekend on different nights.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Southern California rock bands, we went and saw Thrice, former front seater of the podcast, Dustin Kensrue, and they were down doing two shows here in San Diego. We saw them on Thursday, and you saw them on Friday. We saw the very first show of the tour, and it was very, very... it's the thing that performers do, which is they perform in front of people they know and love, and then they apologize after the show for how bad it was. And we're like, I enjoyed it. I had a good time.
Did that happen Friday too?
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were, it was first show of the tour. Like, they're easing in and figuring stuff out and all of that. So,
you know so much more about music that you probably noticed that stuff, though. I didn't notice any flaws.
Yeah. It's an energy thing. It's like knowing, when you see a band, end of tour, when they've been playing it well, end of tour if it's a good tour. If it's a bad tour, they just want to get the hell off this
tour. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
They're phoning it in.
Yeah. But if you catch it, right where, the energy is maximized, they've become super comfortable with the set. You know, that's usually a sweet spot, on a tour. And that's where you'll notice a difference is the energy in certain parts.
Are
they focusing or thinking a lot more versus just feeling and flowing and jamming and making it happen.
But, flow. Yeah. I didn't notice any of it. It was a great show.
Yeah, no errors, no flaws that I saw.
Well, speaking of a no flaws tour, I am out. We kicked off the halfway tour. Salt Lake did not get a bad show, even though they're my first. Music is so different than comedy, but let me tell you guys about some tour dates if you guys are interested. I'm not going to tell all of them because it just takes too long.
Remember, if you just say the city.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you go June.
Oh, that's how we did it last week.
Blah, blah.
Yeah, okay,
July.
So okay, there we go. Well, I'll do the immediate upcoming ones. Brea tomorrow. If you guys are in Brea or today. Today's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Get down there from Yorba Linda. Josh's dad.
Get the freeway.
And this weekend, Des Moines, Iowa, 526-27, three shows out there. June, Chicago, San Diego, L.A., Orlando, Tampa, Boston, we added a show. Charlotte, Raleigh, July, North Charleston, we're going to add a show there. Tacoma, Pittsburgh, Nashville, Atlanta, San Jose, Fresno, we're into August. We're adding a show on that one as well. Sacramento, Omaha, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, we're going to add a show. But this, when I say added show, it means we had
second
one there
show.
Already. Second show. There we go. Dallas, Tulsa, San Antonio, September, Houston, Oklahoma City, Austin, Phoenix in October, December, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. More to come. There's a few shifting on some of the dates going around, but that's anyways. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Brea tomorrow, and it reminded me of one of my favorite stories. I don't know if you remember this, but Andy, this story will be new to you. I think I was just at the Brea Improv and I was seeing Dusty Slay and I was just hanging out there and I had done a guest set and I was hanging on the back and the manager comes up to me and he goes, hey, we had to kick that fam. The manager comes up to me and says, okay, let me set this context again. So I'm sitting in the way back of the comedy club and the manager says, hey, we had to kick that couple out because that guy had his hand up the girl's dress. And he's like, you know, and they were dating. They're not married. And I was like, yeah, I know. Because no married couple would ever do that. Because if a married couple would be like, my wife would be like, we paid for these tickets.
It's that we got a babysitter.
Yeah, I am not here for this. I'm more interested in that man right now and what he has to say than other these shit. And that's such like dating energy. Or maybe it's like midlife trying to keep it alive energy. I don't know, but it was very funny. But
regardless, you're getting kicked out.
Yeah. And the managers was like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "I mean, I could have told you they were dating the second it happened. That's not, at least that they're not parents." This is the last thing I wonder. So anyways, Bray Improv, keep your hands to yourself tonight. Or Mikey's going to kick you out there. We had a great Patreon hang last night on the Zoom. Mm-hmm. If you guys aren't a Patreon, it's a way to give a little more, get a little more. And one of the things you get is a monthly Zoom hang. We had a good time. Mel was doing mixers last night.
Oh, I was.
Yep.
Yes. Well, my first question bombed because I was like, "What do you like to barbecue?" And then our new patrons were like, "We're vegetarian. Uh-huh. We don't own a barbecue."
Yep.
And I was like, "All right, next question."
Yeah, we got a few out of but he was.
They were sweet about it.
Yeah, they were. They were nice. They weren't more judgy about it. You know, they save that for the vegans. The vegans are a little more the judgy of the
veggies over a fire is far better than veggies in a pan.
He actually,
I mean, come on, you don't own a barbecue.
But if you don't eat meat, you're probably not going to own a barbecue.
I refute that comment.
You would own a barbecue just to grill veggies?
I said
100%.
I said a cauliflower steak.
Yeah.
But they did not go with me on that. So that's okay.
I mean,
it's partly about being outside. Yeah. I mean, sure, you could broil stuff.
Guys, this is all hypothetical.
I mean,
this is their lives.
I get it. But I thought I'm going to. But that's not a reason. You know what I mean? Like, we're vegetarian.
It's a reason for them.
That's why we do it.
It's for them. We're all putting ourselves in their meatless shoes and saying this is what I would do. And this is what they're doing. That's their lives. They're great.
I like Andy's point, though.
I don't. Listen, those two charmed my heart because you were a non-judgy vegetarian. And that's the kind of Patreon that I want. So thank you for your commitment. I understand what you mean, but I can't believe that this miserable month still has 8 days left. We have been complaining about...
We're on week three of it.
And I think we started... today is May 34th.
Yeah.
And there's 8 days of May left. 40 days of May. I can't believe how long this month is.
It's just too much. It's too much.
I haven't had a good day in May since Cinco de Mayo. That was my last one.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's all a blur.
It's all mayhem. The mayhem continues. Mm-hmm. But anyways, thanks for tuning in. Quick weekend recap. So this week I was in Salt Lake City, Ogden specifically, which is like 40 minutes outside of town. So those of you who live in beautiful Salt Lake and drove to Ogden, as they call it, as many people call it, the meth capital of Utah, where I am a draw. It was so funny. There was like an Ogden marathon when I was getting there. I was like, "That's the saddest marathon I've ever seen." It's like you're running from something. You're like it's not. It was like an abandoned town. It wasn't. Ogden is not nice.
Okay.
It's not like it's. You're not scared.
Prices are better.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's Utah, so it is pretty, but it's just kind of I think it was an old train town. Like, it just felt a little run down, and which, you know, listen, I'm from Federal Way, Washington. I know run down cities. I'm a draw there, baby. You give me the methy run down city. That's where Dustin Nickerson fans are.
So there's three comedy clubs in Salt Lake City.
All wise guys, the level of success you are is based on how close to the city you're allowed to play.
Okay.
When you're at my level, you get to play Ogden. You hope to make your way out to get a weekend at Jordan's Landing. And then when you're big, like Kelsey Cook was this weekend, you get to play Salt Lake proper. But it's the size of the clubs, too.
Okay.
So this one was like 150-seater, and we sold out both shows, and it was great. It was, I mean, the Saturday show especially was just like fire. It was so good. But you know, it's the big rooms. It's like the main room is downtown or whatever. It's like 300. You sell out a whole weekend there. You're a theater act. That's 1,200 tickets. You know.
Yeah.
So We're working on it brick by brick, baby.
That's right.
Please, Des Moines, buy some tickets to that late show Saturday. Because here's the thing. This weekend in Des Moines, I fly. It's 6 in the morning the next day to Portland. I have a corporate gig in Portland on
right.
Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you knew that.
No, I did. Because Gloria was going to go to Des Moines with you.
Right.
And then you added that corporate.
And then I chose money over my child.
Let's not. That would be hard for
him.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
What?
Mm-mm. <Mm-mm>. No. I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Where am I going? You tell me.
You're going to talk about a teenage daughter.
Oh, not like that. I'm just saying we fought a bunch. I'm not saying anything more than okay, we fought a bunch.
Here's the thing.
She actually, okay.
I have to deal with that in the morning.
Yeah.
I get all the sass and the meh, meh. You want me to die out there?
That's so dramatic.
That's how my day started.
Yeah.
And so you like handle it at night, but then she wakes up with like all the fury.
Mm.
So just know that I've already had my dosage for the day.
Yeah. One of the one of the more challenging parts of fighting with your teenagers is when the other parent won't support you.
Really?
No, I'm saying this goes both ways. You know, because it is pretty rare. It's a great feeling when you're both unified going against that kid. I'm not saying like angry, violent or anything, but we're arm in arm, two against one, double coverage. We have you trapped in the corner here. You can't get out. But when it's just you, mano a mano, and you're going against hormones and puberty by yourself, and then your partner is apathetic, or sometimes like, could you just stop? And you're like, I'm in the middle of a fight. I can't just stop right now. I just got punched in the face. I got to retaliate. I have to retaliate, or metaphorically, yes, but retaliate or something. I can't end till I win.
Yeah, I know. Thus the apathy.
You really do have those moments where you're arguing with your teen and you are like, I remember what it's like to be that. I remember exactly what it's like. And I'm right. And I was right then too. I don't have arguments with my kids and be like, I should go apologize to my dad. I was like, I've been right this whole time. I've never been wrong in an argument ever. I'm sorry that you don't understand this correctly. Our daughter, who is, I'm not going to track, but it is like, it's not even just our daughter. It's just kids in general. The lies are so obvious. It's like, it's just so, you know, like the looking away. It's so clear. When they're, or one thing that.
Her tells.
Yeah. When Gloria says, when you're in an argument with Gloria, or you call her out, not even an argument. I don't want to say argument. When you call her out for something and she goes like, I don't understand, you've won. What I don't understand means it's over. You know, it's you have a similar tell when it's over is you stop talking about the thing that we're talking about. And then you make it very personal. So, for example, we had one this week where we were we put off a task that I was like, well, we can take care of that in August. And you're like, you're gone all of August. We can't all have to do it later if we do that. And then I was like, well, we can do it these dates, August 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. And you look.
But you said 6, 7, 8, 9, and I was in July.
Yeah. So you got confused.
I was on the calendar in July, because you did not say August. You said 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, but the context was the month of August. That's it. We could do it. It's 6, 7, 8, 9, and you're like, well, you're gone. All that. I was like, I'm not. And then you go, well, good for you.
I know. I wanted to get it done before August.
Well, good for you is so funny because you're acknowledging, because I've done this a million times, you're acknowledging, hey, on the facts of this matter, you are correct, but I'm still mad at you. I'm still not.
I want it done now.
I want it. I'm.
But
yeah, that's a
good
way.
You're right. That
you're right.
Wait.
But I'm not happy with how this is all shaking down.
So one, I was looking at July, and then two, Joel usually starts the first week of August. That's the first week of his high school.
Right.
This 1 year, they're starting in the second week.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my brain, like he usually starts August 3rd.
Right.
This year he starts August 10th with
August
the girls.
August 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
So it could be done the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th. However, the years past, it's had to be done at the end of July.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, listen. Yeah. We made up.
Yeah.
I think we went on a hike. It was fine.
It was short. You know.
We took a hike.
Yeah.
So anyways, Ogden was great. You guys should check out Ogden, Utah if you get a chance. Thanks for coming out to those shows. They really were fun. One of the nice, Claire came with me. Mm-hmm. And Claire, one of the nice things about traveling with a little kid, there's a lot of nice things about traveling with a little kid is one.
Like a medium kid.
A medium kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, our littlest kid, 9. 9 is actually a dang near perfect age to travel with. The only real downside is they still don't walk as well as you want. Like, they can walk, but they get tired.
Sure, they have little legs.
So. And the Salt Lake Airport is so big. And so it just, it's, she would like, we would get on the walkways, and they have them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's miles. Like, it probably is a close to a full mile from your gate to the rental car.
Yeah.
If not more. It's a long walk. And so we would get on like the little moving walkways and she would be like, can we sit down on these? And I was like, no, the point of these is not rest. The point of these is you walk faster.
Efficiency.
Yeah. But the other thing is she's still like very cheap to travel with because she's like, let's go to a park. And you're like, yes, parks are free. Let's go to the hotel pool. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's all built
in. It's all, we had 2 Chick-fil-A lunches. It was like... And I flew with a companion pass. I don't think it cost me $100 to bring her.
That's great.
It was super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
When I took Joel to Seattle, he's like, let's go shopping. Let's go vintage shop. Sushi, ramen. I don't want to go to the hotel pool. I have no interest. We didn't even book a hotel with a pool.
Yeah.
Baseball games. I mean, it's so expensive. So,
yeah.
And she's easily impressed. So she's like, Salt Lake City is the coolest city ever. And I was like, I'm sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. She's like, look at the lights on these buildings. You're like, you forgot about New York already, huh? That's fine. But it's the specialness of being out and about with your dad.
A trip
that's not home. So meanwhile, you were throwing the 16th birthday bonanza.
Yes. Well, yes.
Our son turned 16.
16-year-old boys, I don't know. Like, every time Joel does a group activity, it's, no offense, but it's planned by his friends that are girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who's taking offense to that?
Trails or like
who's taking offense to that, Melissa?
I don't know. The internet?
Our teenage boy
internet?
Listeners?
We do have a teenage boy listener.
I don't think he listens to this podcast.
Okay. Huh?
I don't think he listens to this podcast.
Oh, he just likes your stand-up. That's fine. Okay. Well, he emails. Okay.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking, we're
Connor
not, yeah.
Something. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, so they had no plan, except they wanted to go to a trampoline park at night. And
Chula Vista, baby. Ooh.
So I was like, I can drive 5 of them, 4 with Joel, you know, and then I was like, let's meet at 7. We'll get our wristbands at 7:30. You can jump at 8. And I was kind of hoping that, like, the little kids would be gone because these boys are, like, 6 feet.
Right.
And, like, basketball and football players and lacrosse players. And the day started with a trip to North Park. There's a vintage market there.
Yeah.
And they walked around. They blah, blah, blah.
Joel had, like, a wedding week of a birthday because I also had gotten him a brand-new skateboard and a second deck. And and there was a big family dinner and a bunch of stuff. I mean,
to Seattle with you.
He had, like, a biblical wedding month that just went on forever and ever, which is fine because it was his last birthday party.
Well, here's my thing, though. when you have teenagers.
I do have teenagers.
Which we do. Yeah. You're like, I will pay for you to do something like healthy and safe.
Right.
You know, because right. you're like, it's Friday night.
Yeah, which is, I believe from what so I've heard happy. From Joel, that healthy, safe thing was they went to the trampoline park and he literally was dunking on like 10-year-olds.
Yeah. The whole ride home, they were laughing about all the kids they ran into.
Yeah.
That's and true. I was like, partially, I was like, I mean, they were jumping from 8 to 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So like, if you had your little kids out there, yeah. like, it was dark. It was like a glow night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so Andy, do not bring your little kids.
You had it coming.
Yeah.
Do not bring your little kids to a trampoline park for glow night.
Yeah.
They will get hurt.
Teenage boys are just so natural.
That seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, obviously. 100%.
There were a lot of little kids there. And I was like, ooh.
Teenage boys are just so naturally reckless. Like I was picking up Gloria from school yesterday, and where we sit, there's like this like little like metal rod that holds signs, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just like, you know, three pieces. And this teenage boy like went to go hang on it, but it wasn't meant to be hung on, so it just like fell and broke. And he just like pointed at it and laughed as he walked. It was just him. He amused himself where he accidentally broke this thing and he didn't tell anybody. And I'm an adult. I was like, somebody has to fix that. Somebody, what did you just do? They're just so naturally reckless.
Well, they ended up eating tacos in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of the friends, I was inside the whole time, but I saw one of the friends jumping on our trampoline holding the net.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, I mean, it's. Yeah. We've replaced every part on the trampoline, but one of the poles broke off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not meant for them.
You ever go to a demolition derby?
No.
That's what a teenage boy is. They're just cars that just run into each other. Like, it's not a race. The whole idea is just to run into each other until the other car breaks down. You're not trying to win a race. You're trying to hit each other. That's a teenage boy.
Yeah. So, Joel. So we had five in our car, my van. We had eight that I checked in the first time, and then we had four stragglers who showed up later.
Yeah.
And then it was like 10:30, and they'd all jumped, and I was like just waiting for them, but I was like, can we go outside? Like, they were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I was like, can we just go outside? Because, like, if I can't buy you all Slurpees here.
No.
Like, I've already, like, spent my budget, but I have, like, water bottles and chip bags in my
van. Oh, yeah.
But it took them like 20 minutes to leave.
Yeah.
Because they were just hanging out.
Yeah. And then you had
apathetic. And then I was like, who am I driving home?
Right.
And where are you going?
And that was a week ago, and you've had to air out the van since. So smelly. Just six smelly teen boys after trampoline house.
He's like, can they all spend the night? And I was like, I have to get up at 6 for a volleyball.
Right. And then
he was like, well, what about 3? And I was like, it's still too many.
Yeah.
And then we had a kid get picked up by an Uber at 11:15.
It's a modern world. We think it was an Uber.
Because he wasn't.
We hope it was an Uber.
He was going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because I was like, do you want to ride home? It was a lot. It was fun, though, and they were grateful.
You reach it. I'm glad you brought this up, though, because
everybody was safe.
Yeah.
Somehow. Safe. Somehow.
You did a great job.
And Joel doesn't have a lot of friends over,
mm-hmm.
which one, it's just like our house dynamics. It's a small house. It's not a small house. It's just, I don't know that he doesn't have people over, you know, the girls are a lot.
Yeah.
It's just a full house.
Yeah. It's very, very full. It's
and
a house
so
dynamic.
And so with Claire out with you, and then Gloria was like, no way am I going to Sky Zone with all those teenage boys. So she stayed back. So it was nice. It was the perfect weekend to do it.
Yeah, he had a great one.
Yeah.
We did so much for that one that he never has to do one again.
It was 10 hours. 10 hours of trying to get those kids organized.
I'm glad that you drew the line, though, because, like, when you're a 16-year-old kid, your friends can't sleep over anymore. That's a grown...
Well, they all needed showers.
Yeah.
They had no bedding.
They
don't have like a sleeping bag.
Mel, they take a shower and immediately need another shower. They're the grossest humans on the planet. They're so gross. They're so gross. They can't sleep over. They're grown men. Those are men in the house. Having 4 16-year-old boys is adding 4 men to your household that night. Plus, they're giving, they got like a.
We only have one bathroom.
Yeah, one bath. Plus, they're kind of like giving you, they got that look in their eye towards you, which I don't love. And Joel actually said that. They're like, oh, my, like Joel came to us and like, oh, dad. My friends were like, "Oh my gosh, I get to go to Joel's mom's house. Oh my gosh, I got to touch Joel's mom's hand. I'm never gonna wash my hand again." Yeah, they can't sleep over. I gotta start limiting their time here.
Also, we had a loaves and fishes situation because
loaves and fidgets.
Loaves and fitches, the birds.
Mel said one the other day. She said yesterday, she said, yeah, they really got pigeon footed. And I was like, what? Pigeon holed? And what was funny is you weren't even using the expression pigeon holed correctly. But it was
pigeon. It didn't work.
Pigeon footed, I was clueless.
Yeah,
I didn't even know. No. But anyway.
Because this was an unplanned birthday party.
Yeah.
I had like a half a pound of thawed meat for the three of us to have tacos.
Yeah.
And so I like stretched it and made it for 8 boys, teenage boys. Yeah. It was a lot. Yeah. And an unplanned birthday. Cause you know, like if you plan it, I could have bought stuff.
Yeah.
But
they wouldn't have liked it anymore though.
No. And I think like, The amount of money, this is a bingo dingo, that I spent at the trampoline park, we could have got a party package. Mm-hmm. They could have had soda and pizza there.
Yeah.
But because I how would I have known who was going
to
show up?
There's no way to know. You can't.
And when.
Yeah.
So I couldn't plan it in advance,
which
is fine.
They're like jellyfish, just swishing.
But
around.
I was like, I can't spend like $60 on Slurpees in Sky Zone. That was my line.
Yeah,
like, I can't. There's waters in the van.
That's where you drew the line. That's like when I go to a movie. Usually, where I draw the line when we take our kids to a movie is the icy ask. I'm gonna go, no, we've done this movie was so expensive already. Well, I'm doing popcorn and soda, but
yeah. And when they have braces, they can't have any of the candy essentially,
mm-hmm. which is helpful. I mean, they do when they're not around us. I don't know how another bracket broke. Really? What a stunner.
But we're beyond that. Now they have retainers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're out of braces.
We're out of braces.
Officially.
And now we're teaching kids how to drive.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Mm-hmm. I did a freeway drive with Joel yesterday. I don't think that you should be able to have an alcoholic beverage in the car. Unless you are teaching your child how to drive on the freeway, then it should be absolutely 100% legal. And I think if you got pulled over and the cop was a parent, they'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, they're like, let me get a sip now that I know your monster's on the road as well. It's very, very. Like, I was like, ah, man, we got to do like a half an hour out, half an hour, like an hour drive. I'm going to be so bored. I was not bored. There was not. It's the scariest roller coaster on earth. Mm-hmm. It's so, so scary.
And
he's good
this,
at it.
He's our most responsible child.
He's the only one I'm going to let drive.
Yeah. And he's 30 hours in.
Yeah.
Like, he's been driving around our neighborhood for 30 hours, mm-hmm. and still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, it is nice spending the time with him, but I did have that moment yesterday because we were driving back and we were sitting in traffic and like, it is like, I think people are listening to music and we're talking about music and it was real father-son stuff. But it is, even in like a heart, even in a nice moment like that, it is so hard for guys to show emotions.
Yeah.
Because we're like embarrassed by them.
Okay.
And I was thinking about how for guys, society has built a world where they are more comfortable like sending a dick pic than a red heart emoji.
Yeah.
Like that's like a more natural, like, no, I can't let him see.
Don't let me see.
Yeah. They can see this. They can see this, but not see me. Oh my gosh.
Emotions are more X-rated than actual
100%. Yeah. It's why men die of heart attacks, because the heart's like, I'm not doing anything anyways. I have no feelings. I might as well just die. I might as well kill the whole rest of the body.
As an empath. Mm-hmm. But you're feeling everybody else's feelings.
I'm still embarrassed by my certain
by your feelings.
Yeah. There are certain feelings that you go, I still don't know if I want people to like see that, you know?
Shove them down.
Yeah. And even like, I don't know, obviously the stigma and that is going away to some extent, but it's not like it's gone. It's really only
musicians can show their feelings.
I wonder if it's very similar. Yeah.
Ted Lasso is reshaping men for the
future.
Yeah.
You're like, but that's not real, right?
Yeah,
like it's all
actually. Actually, he's not, because he's all like positivity, and then Roy is shoving them all down.
Yeah, right. But I think they're getting at the idea that men romanticize sports.
Yes.
And there's a way to draw out a real emotional connection about something that's seemingly not emotional.
Right.
Yeah, men are very emotional about sports.
Yeah, and it's all based on a fantasy setting, though, of like a football coach who would be good at coaching football in Europe. And you're like, I mean, literally couldn't happen. Like this, there's no way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in a fantasy world, guys are allowed to kind of have feelings.
And Ryan Reynolds is the only actual, like, football coach or owner.
Owner. Right? He's an owner. He's not coaching. Yeah, it's very different. Right. Yeah. And
that's a fantasy.
And he makes fart jokes in Deadpool. So let's not get carried away here. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here, but to me it feels, and correct me if this is, you know, insensitive or off. I think the stigma around men and their feelings is probably similar to, or I would compare it to, like the beauty standards with women, where you're like, it is changing. It isn't what it once was. There are different examples of beauty that are being held up here, but it's not like that's completely eradicated. It's not like that's gone entirely. Like, hey, we use this model now, and now this guy cried on TV. You still have generations of dads that didn't make their sons feel comfortable hugging them, you know?
Yeah. I get that, and I agree with you. I think I would say a better comparison would be, like, women being, like,
mm-hmm.
like, bossy and, like, strong.
Yeah.
I think that's, like,
talk about things that make me cry.
I just think that's a better example. Like, comparison, like, because they're like, oh, she's a. I think that plays out.
Yeah, because there used to be like terms like a lady boss. You're like, no, just boss.
Right.
Just boss. Just normal. Mm-hmm. Just
like
boss.
Social norms.
Yeah. Yeah, that you're like, it is more acceptable now, but it is still, there's still a lot of people very uncomfortable with it. And I do think that that's like, I mean, you saw that play out, not to spoil too much, but there was a cry scene with in Succession, of where one of the leads kind of breaks down and gets mocked and humiliated for it, because you're supposed to be this model of strength and stability, and you're like, oh, well, he's grieving. He's not allowed to grieve. So there is an element of that, of where, like, you still don't want to see men be maybe like a single solemn tear, but certainly not hysterical, certainly not, you know, breaking down, certainly not like unable to control themselves weeping, which is like what full grief is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like scheduled, limited grief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like not getting the full package of grief. Like, you're not getting VIP access grief. You're just getting general admission grief. I don't know.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And in some corners, I think it's actually, it's almost extremist, like, masculinism. You know, like, I think we see that almost more because of the public space. You know?
Yeah.
You spend enough time on Instagram and Twitter, and you hear some people that are like, whoa, you still think that? Like, very much still think that? Like, there's a couple, I've seen a couple other the comedians that do this one back and forth remix with this workout guy. I can't remember his name. He has like red hair and he's just massive. And he's just talking at the camera, just telling you
how low of a person
you are. And it's like, go to the gym.
That guy.
You know?
So he just like shames you into working
out. Yeah, totally. Okay. You know, but so there's still like, there's still voices out in the space that are saying like, this is how to be a man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was this great, of all people, Andrew Schultz. Andrew Schultz did an interview with the Liver King guy when he got in all of his trouble because he was like, I'm not taking steroids. He's like, yes, you are. You are so clearly. And Andrew said to him, he's like, what if like your version of like this heavy manhood was just like loving and caring and taking care of your family. Like that should be the standard of masculinity, not your muscles, not eating raw liver, anything along. And that's what I'm saying. There still is this like shift. It's very much like when you glorify a certain thing, and like I know that standards of femininity and beauty exist, but they also exist with masculinity. Of you, they're like, oh, that's cool, you're working out and everything, but Chris Hemsworth, that's what you should be. And you're like, well, Chris Hemsworth didn't look like that until he got paid million. He used to look like a Australian skinny surfer. Like he was like it was like in good shape because he surfed all the time. Yeah. I've seen a million dads that look like him in San Diego. You know, he looked like, you know, he should be in Switchfoot. Like, and now he's Thor and. So I don't know. But bringing it back of like, well, you're trying, you still want to like, I don't know. You have a 16-year-old son and you're like, you're still trying to break that down in them, and that you're like, I love you, I care about you. It's okay to, but his friends aren't that way.
No, his friends
won't let him be that way.
He told me, he said, well, cause he got a haircut on Saturday and somebody, he had to deliver all these notes for a teacher he TAs for. And somebody was like, oh my gosh, you got a haircut. It looks good.
Yeah.
And he did like the, like, I appreciate you, man. You know, like,
yeah.
And he goes, he told me, he goes, guys never get compliments.
No, certainly not from other guys.
Like, as a 16-year-old, he said that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and in my head, I was like, I compliment you. But I'm his mom, so like, you know. And I just thought that was very self-aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, that he would say that.
Yeah, it's, listen.
Because whatever you do, you're at the risk of just getting bashed.
Yeah.
By your friends.
Yeah.
The internet, your teachers, your coaches, like, just everyone's coming for you.
Yeah, existence.
For whatever you choose to do.
Existence.
Or don't do.
Existence is hard. Like, just existing is real hard. But it is kind of in its rawest, purest, hardest form in high school. Like, it is because you, like, existence is hard in your 30s, but, like, I know who I am. I know.
I don't walk into a room of, like, 500 of my peers every morning.
Yeah, that is true.
At 8 a.m.
Just sizing them up. You
like,
know,
what? It's my outfit today.
What is your outfit? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do I look tired?
Yeah.
You know,
do they think my mom is hot? Dang it.
Am I on trend?
Yeah.
Did I do my homework? Like,
do I have enough checkers on my backpack? And I'm in the spa scene.
Yeah.
What's my favorite song?
This look right. What's my favorite song today?
It's incredible. Yeah. It's terrifying. Yeah.
It's so cute. He's like, I gave my friend a playlist and now those songs are in all of his stories.
Yep, yep. You think about that stuff.
You're a trendsetter.
I remember things that people said to me as a teenager. They repeat in my head pretty regularly. They just stick with you. I remember one day in sophomore year in high school, I put together an outfit that I was pretty proud of, and it was like these like shorts and like a t-shirt and like a little open flannel. I dug deep. You know, and I went in.
The year was 2001.
Yeah, and Amanda and Aubrey looked behind me, and they were sitting in front of me.
Side eye.
They looked at me, and they started laughing. And they're like, Dustin, it looks like you did a really good job getting dressed on your top half today. And I've thought about that
top
once a month.
Half?
Yeah. Like, in other words, like, your shirt and your shirts look nice.
Oh my
your
gosh.
Shorts and your shoes.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, my family doesn't have money. We can only afford a half an outfit. Like, and yeah, but that's the thing. You come in feeling good.
Yes.
Like that you're just like, ah, I had this confidence.
I remember one mean thing I said in seventh grade.
To me?
But yeah.
When you called me Hives Boy?
No. We've already discussed this. Okay. In seventh grade, I walked into a class in a portable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a kid and in front of the class before the teacher was in the room or something. I said, Ross, your pants are too short.
Oh, Ross.
And because he was tall.
Yeah.
And he had grown.
Yeah.
And it just, I didn't even mean it.
And you were a nice kid.
I was. And I.
Until that moment.
I just saw him and I said it. Mm. And there was no taking it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
So mean. So mean. He could have retaliated with, you look eight.
Yeah.
Because I did.
But he was nice. He took the high road.
I think one of my friends was like, that was mean.
Yeah.
Which is a lot in seventh grade.
Yeah.
That's, woof, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Every once in a while.
Still feel guilty about it.
Yep. You should, too. Because.
It was a low blow.
Because you were Ross's Amanda and Aubrey. And he's still thinking about that. And he's talking about that on his podcast right now.
I know. Yep.
Were his pants too short, though?
He had grown.
Melissa, I am always worried about internet safety.
Yeah, especially with our kids.
Especially for you. I'm worried about what you are looking at, which is why I want to get Bark put on your phone.
Oh, boy.
Your phone, your laptop, your pager. I need to get Bark on
Bluetooth.
Your pager.
Yeah.
On your Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little one in your ear.
Apple CarPlay.
As many of you guys know, we are parents. As many of you know, you all know we are parents.
Guys, we're parents.
We're parents. And internet safety is, I don't know if there's a thing that parents think about more anymore.
It is so important.
It is
so hard to keep track of.
Yeah. And thankfully, insert Bark Technologies. And then a hero comes along with Bark Technologies to monitor your kid's phone. And there's a new Bark phone, too. I didn't hit that. I missed that one. But before that, I was crushing that.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Bark Technologies is a friend of the pod, and we love them so much. There's a couple services that we've used with them over the year. The phone, the monitoring of your kid's phone, where they send you alerts and what they're looking at, and they have different levels and things, whatever it may be. It's fantastic. You're not spying on your kid. There's just certain things where Bark goes, hey, you might want to see this, and they show
Check
it to
out
you.
This text.
And even better, simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. Bark has a new phone.
That's right. And it doesn't look like a kid's phone.
No,
it's black.
No.
It's sleek.
Yeah.
Phones and technology is improving, and this phone grows with your kid.
Oh.
So maybe your kiddo is, you know, kind of inching into like an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Or wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you want to give him some training wheels to get there.
We recently let our kid get on Instagram, and it was because of Bark.
That's right.
We let our kid, because we're less concerned, and because he's 15 and we're done parenting. But so tell him, but we also, you know, we don't choose any sponsor for the pod. We like sponsors that make sense and we use in our lives, and Bark is one of them. And the new Bark phone is something that we're really excited about, as well as Bark Technology is what we use constantly. And we have some promo codes and we have some details. Hit them, Melissa. Give them those sweet, sweet details.
All right. So you can manage screen time. You can block websites and apps.
Mm-hmm.
You can monitor text, email, YouTube, and 30 apps and platforms.
And he's excited.
You can get child psychologist advice and tips, even ways to approach kids when they mess up.
So how do they sign up and how do they save some money, Melissa?
Let me tell you. if you click on the link in the show notes and enter Don't Make Me, all one word, Don't Make Me, you are going to get 7 days of a free trial for the Bark Premium subscription.
And?
As well as 15%
off for the lifetime of your subscription, baby.
That's right.
I was thinking about, you know, with Joel, like teaching your kid to drive in Southern California is a real baptism by fire thing.
Yeah.
And the like level of This is the level of training a Southern California driver, the level of difficulty you go. You go the back roads, the main streets, mm-hmm. the freeways, mm-hmm. and then the In-N-Out drive through. That's the highest level.
That will be the last day.
That's when you, and if you pass that, we might let you drive us to the Costco. Maybe. Yeah, I was, maybe.
The Trader Joe's parking lot.
The Trader Joe's parking lot. Yeah. Yeah. Just
the
absolute.
Costco gas station.
The Costco gas station lot is the highest difficulty there is. That's the...
After a year.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson's punch out. The end of the game. You can get... He's going to knock you out probably in about 3 seconds. Just bob and weave, jab, try and get out of there alive with, you know, 72 pounds of peanut butter pretzels. Whatever it is you get out of Costco. We had a dance recital last week. We went to, or not a dance recital, sorry, we had a choir concert.
Yeah.
And our daughter mm-hmm. had a solo. Mm-hmm. And I have prided myself, over the years, I have prided myself about not being overly competitive parent at sporting events.
Kind of checking your ego at the door.
Yeah, but I am very competitive at choir concerts. I'm like, this girl got a solo? Are you kidding me? To say that this girl is tone deaf would be an insult to the deaf community. This girl sucks. This girl is raspy or off. I mean, you're not even in the same room as that note. How did you get a solo? Oh my God.
Have you ever had a solo?
No, but I shouldn't. I am a bad singer, and that's why I didn't get a solo, and I'm better than her.
You have to probably have 20 to 30 solos before you walk out there with confidence.
My kid didn't.
And hit the notes.
Mine didn't. 20 to 30 solos? That's like her third.
All right. Well, she's got a killer voice.
I don't know. I'm not that way in their sports.
I'm not surprised when a soloist misses a note.
Yeah.
Because they're nervous.
Yeah.
You know? And when it's like public speaking. Mm-hmm. When you're nervous and you kind of just trail off, like phone it in.
Yeah.
Leave your body and just whatever note comes out.
I guess. I don't know. I think maybe you have more background in the choir world than I do. And I have more background in the sports world than I do the choir world. Sports, I'm like, they're developing, they're understanding. I understand the pressure of the moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'll listen to some of these solos. And I'm like, I mean, there's not an inch of talent in you. You got nothing. Is your mom the teacher? Is your dad the mayor?
I will be honest.
What strings did you pull to get this solo? I mean, you couldn't. This song could have been Jingle Bells, and you would have missed every note. I mean, you gotta pick up. You gotta learn how to write or something, because this is not it. You gotta pick up some dance moves or find some charisma. I don't know. I've sat through enough. I've sat through enough choir concerts to this point that I am pro auto tune. At those live concerts, just for the listener's sake, there's a couple jaw dropping talents, but there's
just lip sync.
Yeah, yeah. I'd prefer lip sync.
Bring on the backing tracks.
Bring on, yeah, exactly. We saw 75-year-old Elton John, and he was great, but he had some support behind him for a reason, you know. And I don't know.
I will say they're a little liberal in the solos.
It was kind of like everyone solo gets a solo, and you know, when everyone gets a solo, it's like no one gets a solo. It doesn't mean as much. You got to earn that solo.
There were a lot of solos.
It's not my fault that my daughter's more talented than yours.
Spread out amongst everyone.
I just, you know what it is I it's some of it
but
is
gave them a chance.
Well, here's the problem with Gen Z is they will go and bomb a solo and not realize like this isn't for you. Like you're bad at this. It's not it's okay.
Gen Z football teams. You know what? Why don't you play quarterback tonight?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I'm just like,
this is what I said at the volleyball tournament.
Yeah.
I said, we're winning. They have to put in the other players, the B team. You know, like they need their reps. They have to have gameplay to improve.
I understand that, but like the concert isn't the reps.
You're right.
They go to choir every day. Those are the reps. I don't, at a certain point, like if that was an NBA team, they'd be like, hey, we got to fire the coach because the coach is putting a bad product on the field.
Choir isn't an NBA team. They can't win. Choir doesn't win.
I started this by using the phrase, I am
competition.
Yeah. In high school, they get to go to competition.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. What I'm saying, I started this by saying, I know I'm overly competitive in this. I get that. But it is better because it's okay to be overly competitive in that because there's no ref to yell at. It would be funny, though. What kind of call is that?
If choir parents could yell at a ref,
yeah,
that would be amazing.
They probably should add it because that would make it a little more cutthroat.
Or they have to speak to the choir director after.
Yeah.
Some harsh words.
There should at least be a review, a Yelp review at the end. And you're like,
soloist number 10 was
Chelsea
flat.
By one star. I mean, goodness gracious, Chelsea. I was like, you were like an out of tune piano. You couldn't. It's like the notes couldn't get hit unless somebody went in here and changed your vocal cords.
Yeah, but did you see the dress?
Yeah.
Did you see the dress I was wearing?
Yeah, it wasn't the moment. It was the lack of talent. That was the issue. You either got it or you don't.
You know what?
And Gloria does.
Maybe you need to just do your own Yelp reviews at these concerts just to get through them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I am writing bits during it a lot. Yeah. I mean, it was rough. Some of them were great. Some of them were really, really good. That's the problem.
I hope it seems like Gloria's going to do high school choir, which makes me so happy because they have a good program and they get to go to Universal Studios. And
I mean, that's really what we're doing here. Let's
and
be honest. Yeah.
They won a competition with a Stranger Things collab mashup of songs in costume. So I really hope she sticks with it. It'll be fun. But
let's do a couple emails. Everybody, thanks for we got to record multiple episodes in June beyond our normal. So shoot us some emails and some questions at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. This one is from Brian. This is referring to a previous episode. It's called "I Hate to Throw Up." This is
okay. All right, hi Brian.
Hey y'all, love the pod. Thanks for making real content about real people, about family and laughs. I have to say that Mel is right. There are people who have a fear of throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much a fear. It's more of a loathing. Hi, I'm Brian. I hate to throw up. Yes, I understand that you feel better afterwards, but that relief pales in comparison to the moments before when you were in the throes of violent heaving. How much do I hate it? Let's flash back to when my wife and I were a young married couple and I came down with the flu. It was terrible. I laid in bed sick as a dog. Then the sweat hits, along with that awful rapid swallowing. I got up and went to the bathroom and sat on the edge of the tub, which was about a step and a half from the toilet. The porcelain of the tub felt cool on my booty as I dripped sweat and tried. It's got weird.
He's naked.
Yeah, slowly. I didn't know you got naked. Forgot to add that.
You got to lead with that.
Yeah, yeah. I tried to breathe slowly to avoid projectile vomiting in front of my beautiful wife. Why is she in the room? I felt the worried face start to come on. You know the one. But I continued to breathe and repeated it in my head. I'm not going to throw up. I'm not going to throw up. I'm not going. Then something felt strange. I felt that cool porcelain feeling all over, and my shoulder hurt, and my head. And as the darkness cleared, my wife was shaking me and screaming, "Don't you die on me! Don't you die on me!" Apparently, my knockdown, drag-out fight with my nausea resulted in me passing out and collapsing backwards in the tub. It didn't matter. I won. I beat you, Pukey McVomerton, well, for about 5 minutes. Then I upchucked my guts like a scene from The Exorcist. Did I feel better? Yes. But I still say being a crumpled heap in the bottom of the bathtub was better. Thankfully, that was just about the last time I tossed my cookies, and I'm still vomit-free in 2023. Sorry, my first email is such a gross one, but I wanted to share. And I'm so glad you aren't going. You're not going to get a turtle. Sincerely, Brian. That's amazing.
Oh, Brian.
Brian. Oh, my gosh, Brian. That is gnarly. Oh.
You pass out and then you still throw up.
Yeah, that's really a lose-lose.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the email.
Wow.
Thanks for the email. This is from Patrick. Question about
Patrick.
Voiceover characters. Hi, Dustin and Melissa. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I also work in children's animation. I really enjoyed your interview with Pete Lee, and when Pete Lee mentioned his voice work, got me wondering, what kind of animated characters would be fun for either of you to voice? I'm also curious what you think of most parent characters in animated movies. Thanks. I love the podcast, and I really enjoyed your specials and books.
All right.
So, first, that's a fun question. What characters would be... You got one?
I got one. Well...
For you or for me?
Okay.
For you.
I think the actress that does the mom voice in The Incredibles...
I mean, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah.
I could never match that, but she's just amazing.
Yeah.
She's also like the judge in...
Bob, engage!
In like Superman or something.
Yeah. She's been in she's an incredible actress.
She's amazing.
She's really, really... She was in Succession, too.
Oh, she was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Wait, who is she in Succession?
She's like season 2, 3, of the companies they're trying to merge with, something like that.
I think she's Nan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love her. Great. She was also in 24, one time. Yeah.
She's in a lot of stuff.
She's great. Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's the best.
The Incredibles is such a funny movie because it's like, I'll be a good dad if I can do what I want with my life.
Yeah.
I'll be an engaged husband and father, provided I get to have the job and fulfilling, which is, you know, there's a lot to unpack there as a guy, but
he can have it all.
Mm.
Yeah,
but I think they played well to the mid-century motif on that. Anyways, different topic.
I mean, The Incredibles is my favorite Pixar movie.
Digital artists can't stop talking about The Incredibles.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
True.
Yeah,
it's true.
A little, you know, a little. The whoever was drawn Miss Incredible got a little added some extra curve.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. All right, that is that's noteworthy. But the Miss Incredible, Mrs. Incredible is great. Elastigirl.
Elastigirl.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I it's a great question. I'm trying to think of animated movies. It depends, like, kind of, I don't have, like, a...
Are we staying on parents or just adults?
Well, right now we're doing what voices we would do. I would love, if they ever did, like, a remake of Ninja Turtles, I would love to be one of the Ninja Turtle voices. I don't know which one I would be, because I most resonated with Donatello. Like, I liked, you know, he was such a, or he was like my favorite because he was like the smart one. But I wasn't necessarily the smart one, but I liked that it was like, well, he's got the brains, if not the bronze. But then I think I would it would probably be easier for me to be the mean Raphael one. Because I don't know.
Is there like a nerdy one?
Donatello is the nerdy one. Yeah.
That's quick-witted. That would be.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who's like a sarcastic, quick-witted character in animation. I don't know. Some sidekick. It's never the lead guy. I don't know.
That's a good question.
I got nothing.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I could see Mel going for the mom from Rugrats.
Yeah.
I could see that going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell me I look like Chucky's dad from Kaz or whatever his name was. Yeah.
Chucky. I was really into the Chipmunks.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big... I really liked Alvin.
Yeah, the Chipmunks were huge.
But I couldn't be Alvin's voice.
I would love to be... Yeah. What was Garfield's owner's name? Dave?
John.
John.
I would love to be John.
Yeah, great.
Garfield! 100%. Yeah, I want to be John. I want to be Garfield's owner. And what do we think about the parents, most parent characters in animated movies? That, you know, the old trope of the dumb dad is kind of gone in animated movies. Those are what kind of, really not just animated movies, but movies in general, or like parent or dad depictions in general were like just the idiot doofus father.
Yeah, no more Raymonds.
No more Raymonds. Yeah.
Bert. Oh my gosh.
Bert Kreischer.
Simpsons.
Homer.
Homer. I'm all over the place.
Yeah. You went for Bart.
Yeah, but you landed it for Kreischer.
I meant Homer.
It's great.
Homer Simpson.
I don't know. It depends. What's the last family movie we saw? There was no parents in Super Mario. I mean, with the Pixar ones. I mean, I feel like most animated movies, the parents, their role in the movie is to be a support system that at some point hits a really crucial developmental line, but usually it's a kid's movie and about their develop. My two of my favorite depictions of parents are Miles Morales' parents in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
They're incredible. That's so
fun.
The tension there with the cop dad and the it's all super fun. Yeah. So I like that one a lot.
I know. And our son was like in sixth grade when that movie came out, which is really sweet.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
There's no like positive, negative ones that immediately jump to mind, you know? I like them.
Yeah.
You?
I know, I just had one and then you distracted me with...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Spider-Man.
Well, good for you.
I can't find a mom, but the Goofy movie. The Goofy movie is always my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do Goofy voice, but...
I know.
Goofy movie is a movie that I will not rewatch. It's too emotional for me. It's like The Exorcist. It's just a different emotion. like this traumatized me and I don't want to go through this again. So I'm not gonna watch this.
There are two movies that my son and I recently watched. Okay, I don't know why. I'm just gonna say it. Yeah. We watched 10 Things I Hate About You.
Which was filmed at your high school.
Which was filmed at my high school. I was a incoming freshman when the movie came out. There's a funny dad in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched half of it with him, Little Miss Sunshine.
It's Larry Miller, right? The dad, the comedian.
I believe so, comedian.
Yeah, so funny.
He's very funny in it.
He's in, he was doing like the Christopher Guest stuff. He's in Best in Show. You ever see Best in Show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love Best in Show.
He's the one of Kitty's old boyfriends. They go over to his house. His kid gets on the roof.
Oh, the barbecue. I think that is.
He's a hostage negotiator. Remember that's his thing. He's like, here's a little secret. They always jump. They always jump.
And then in Little Miss Sunshine, Toni Collette is so good.
Yeah.
But she's not animated. So. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Good questions. Thanks for the email. Shoot us some more at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Appreciate you guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Hey there, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our highest level patron, $25 up in a month. Thanks so much for supporting the podcast. That's Adam Bush.
Allison Nelson.
Avril Griffiths.
Bonnie Galindo.
Caroline Crimmins.
Carrie D.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Demarius Diaz Stevens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Vera Journey.
Isaac Teron.
Jason White.
Jennifer Ashley Downs.
Jessica Sewell.
Jordan Cowan.
Lori Amos.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt.
Nicole Carraz.
Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie K. Penn.
Stephen Mena.
And Tiffany
Payne.
Thanks
so much, everybody, for supporting the pod. Appreciate you so much.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.